go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this final day of September 2022. It is the 30th day of September 2022. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, but February's a mess. I think that's how it goes, isn't it? Goodbye to September. Here comes the first full month of autumn. Oof. And here in the studio, it's a bearable 68 degrees. Probably farewell to naked radio, too, so there went that. Hi, I'm Robin. If you would like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, pop on by, head on .live, and click on Chat Room, and pick out a screen name and a password. And, you'll be immediately greeted by the early arrivers there, too. And what I mean by that is you'll get a big hi, hello, and a howdy from Anatole and Irish Dave and Kid Mark and Ralps and Squeaky and Theo, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, even though he is a third-stage guild navigator, has not folded space to become Man Cave. Must be hot again there in space, or Northern California, that is. So, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, this being the final day of the month, we say thank you to our Patreon subscribers, because Patreon comes out on the first day of the month. And that means, you know, tomorrow. So, thanks go out to, Randy Radar. And thank you to, Christopher. Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Dave and the Blind. Thank you to my buddy, Troy. Member of the West Virginia State Democratic Committee Executive Committee. Thanks so much. Thanks to Janice. Thanks, David 1L in Oregon. Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Bernadette. Bernadette, I hope you're feeling better. I sincerely do. I've heard you've had some tough times, and I hope you're just feeling oh so much better. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Baldmer Bob. Thank you to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you, Kat in Ohio. Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much. Thank you, KW. Thank you, Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Horst. Thank you to Robin. And thank you to Terrace. And thank you to Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you all so very kindly for all you do to keep this program on the air and keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting alive. It is, well, we wouldn't, it's simple. This show would not, this program would not be here without you. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. If you would like to be a Patreon subscriber, by all means, go over to headon.live, click on contribute, and the Patreon link is right there under the contribute tab. It's a great way to use $10. So this is Friday on the Front Porch. And that means here in about, 52 minutes or so. We will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree wherein we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we gather every Friday around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable to see what is on people's mind. And if you've never tried it, if you've never participated in the Friday in the Front Porch conversation, please consider doing so. You are mightily welcome there. And there's a button there at headon.live that'll take you right into the group. And you can be part of that conversation. Women's voices are especially welcome. And I hope you'll consider participating. All genders and non-genders. So with all that having been said, there's another thank you to go out. We finished. We finished Larry and Liberalville's challenge from last night. And that's largely thanks to Lori. Thank you, Lori, so very much. And thanks as well to Dave and the Blind and Christine. Thank you. Thank you. Now, where to begin? The hurricane is still with us. The damage in Florida is stunning. Just breathtaking to behold. It is a horror. The attempts to reach people are being described as Herculean efforts. Sanibel Island is cut off from the world. I don't know. It's hard to talk about because how do you encompass such devastation? I know one family dear to me is okay, and I don't know about another one, and I haven't been able to get it off my mind all day long. Ian did make landfall again today in South Carolina. And, of course, it's flooding, and I need to hear from our friends in South Carolina and make sure that you're okay. Clarence, Todd. Please give a shout. And I worry about the new friends that I made down in Atlanta who were going back to South Carolina. Ian came ashore near Georgetown, South Carolina, about 60 miles north of Charleston, just after 2 p.m. today. Cat 1 hurricane sustained winds of 85 miles an hour. And so now it will run inland. Ah, oh, sorry, Brother Deacon. I neglected to mention that. We've got a, based on the note that I got from Larry in Liberalville yesterday, we have about $350 to go to finish the month of September. That's reachable. That's hopeful. Thank you for reminding me. $350 to go. And, wow. That it's already miraculous. If we, given the hole we've been in, if we can make it that last $350, it'll be the biggest community-made miracle that has ever happened in the history of this radio network. Thanks for the reminder, Brother Deacon Asa. I appreciate that. Hopefully. Hopefully he heard that, but just in case, I put it in our production chat. Over 69,000 households are already without power in South Carolina. Of course, South Carolina being South Carolina, there will be no conversations of climate change, at least not within state government. You know, none of these maggot states are actually monoliths. You know, I issue that reminder from time to time simply because there are good people in these states that are so horribly governed, and they have a majority of bad people. And maybe that's overbroad to simply say, but at this point in time, I'm having a hard time seeing anyone who supports, especially, you know, some people, I know of one of them, I know of one person who, you know, a Democrat who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and has since repented of it and knows him for the criminal freak that he is. But if you're still flying a Trump flag, I don't think the jury's out on you anymore, is it? Jenny Thomas, by the way, sat down with the January 6th committee and said, No, Fappy and I never talk about politics or what I'm doing or what he's doing. But then she doubled down and said, But definitely the 2020 election was sure enough stalled. Oh, God. Still say it's time to at least talk about impeaching him. It would be nice to see one of those 60-second speeches to an empty House chamber from some Democrat talking about impeaching Aileen Cannon. Good God. We talked about her latest shenanigans in yesterday's program. This is awesome. I gotta share this. Sumon sent me a note earlier today, just about an hour ago. Subject line, kids essay, Declaration of Independence from Brussels Sprouts. Sumon says, my 10-year-old daughter is learning about the Declaration of Independence. Her assignment was to write her own Declaration of Independence from anything she chooses. She decided to declare independence from Brussels sprouts. Here's the essay she wrote. I thought it was funny, but of course I'm biased. I figured I should share it with you and the community and see what y'all think. Dear Brussels sprouts. Oh, Sumon, your darling 10-year-old daughter and I are going to have a little talk, because I can tell you, before we even get into this, when I was 10, I hated them too. I thought they were nasty. They're one of my favorite things now. Tastes change. Dear Brussels sprouts, you have been a disappointment on my dinner plate for many years. Oh! Why, you ask? Here's my answer. Whenever I smell you in the kitchen, I know I have to tell my parents I'm not hungry, even when I am. Some people may like how you taste, but I despise you. You're worse than broccoli. You're cold, you're hard, and you just look like slimy miniature lettuce. That was the preamble. Here's the Declaration of Rights. You should know that I have rights you need to respect. I know you're healthy for me, but I have the right to eat whatever I want. However, even for once in my life, you never respected that right. My dad forces me to eat you. He says that I can't have dessert, he says that I can have dessert if I finish eating you. But even when I do, all I get is one square of dark chocolate. Aw, you're holding out, Suman. Another right I have is to not buy you at the store, but you're always there. Even the grocery store that my dad goes to is named after you. It's called Sprouts. You've never given me free choice. My parents have no choice but to notice you because you have people like Michelle Obama advertising you for free on YouTube. It doesn't matter how much I beg them not to buy you. Always into the cart you go. I flinch when my dad drops you in the cart. I feel the freedom of my soul sucked away as the cashier scans you. When my dad swipes his card, all I can do is hope that you are expired. List of grievances. All the reasons I'm declaring independence. Grievance 1. Whatever I do, bake you, fry you, peel you until you turn into a seed, you never taste good. Grievance 2. Whenever my dad adds you into a dish, you ruin the whole thing. Grievance 3. You're basically cold, hard lettuce. You should know that lettuce is at least edible. Grievance 4. You hurt my teeth whenever I bite into you, even if I cut you into small pieces. I didn't even want to tell you what you do to my stomach. Conclusory. To conclude, thank you for thinking that you make me stronger, but it is time for us to go our separate ways. You've been told by many people that they love you, but as much as I don't like you, I don't want to tell you the same lie. The truth is that millions of my kind of people, kids, despise you. So on behalf of all kids, I declare independence from you. Oh, God, wait a minute. Well, children do grow up. And not all kids despise them. I got to tell you. We've got a little 5-year-old not far away from me right now. You heard her on the program a couple of times, and I've also mentioned the fact that Ferg does magic with Brussels sprouts. I could make a meal of an entire, and you can tell your daughter this for me, Suman. I could make an entire meal of just a plate of the way my son does Brussels sprouts. And once upon a time, when my daughter was about the age of your daughter, I would bring home, maybe a little younger than your daughter, I would bring home jars of pickled dilled Brussels sprouts. And my Margie would utter cries of pure sheer delight. And at the time she was and she liked them from a very early age, and they became Sprussels sprouts because she had a hard time saying Brussels sprouts. It's a little awkward, but I'm not giving up hope. There may yet come a day. And why are they hard? I mean, cooking them to mush, no, I get that, but they should not be leathery. Just saying. Randy Radar says, I used to curse Julia Child for her cooked country beef-flavored turnip recipe. I like turnips, too, but that sounds a little sus. It does. Thank you, Sharon. Sharon just got us started. We now have only $300 more to go to finish fundraising for the month of September. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much. Darlene in Connecticut says, I made the mistake of looking at photos of the destruction in Florida just before turning in last night, and I couldn't sleep. The photos freaked me out. They're traumatizing to look at. I reached out to a high school friend that moved there and have received no reply as yet. This is beyond a state of emergency for Florida. What's happened here is full-on national emergency. For some reason, being facetious here, my mind keeps going back to Senator Jim Inhofe throwing a snowball around in the Senate. Great minds, Darlene, because I have that very same image. Now, where's your snowball now? Piss quick. Remember, that's what Bart Cop, gone but not forgotten. That was his nickname for Jim Inhofe. Jim Pissquick Inhofe. And there have been in Florida 700 rescues as of this morning. 1.9 million Floridians are still without power. You know, the people who have... Florida pretty much outlawed those. FPL, Florida Power and Light. If you had a roof and you had solar panels on them, and the solar panels stayed on your roof and you had a battery system in your house, you'd have electricity. Just saying. As to Ian, it's the first time a hurricane's made landfall in South Carolina since 2016, and that was Matthew. Twenty-one people in Florida have been identified as having been killed in the storm, but only one was confirmed as a result of the storm, and causation for the other 20 is still under examination. Lee County, which should probably be renamed, is without water because of a main break. And this is, I love this part. Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott sent a joint letter Friday to the Senate Appropriations Committee chairs to secure funding to, quote, provide much-needed assistance to Florida. Well, how about that? Both of those would be standing on chairs and tearing at rending their raiment and shrieking, however, if it was, say, New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Delaware or Connecticut, that needed hurricane relief. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head would be right there raging alongside them, grunting about the budget. President Biden already got busy and declared an emergency, ordered federal assistance to South Carolina. Estimates for the damage in Florida are somewhere between $25 and $40 billion. Their insurance industry that may damned well collapse as a result of this, and that means that taxpayers in places like Illinois and California and Oregon and Washington and New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and we'll be on the hook. They are expecting a rising death toll in Florida. Jesus. And I guess we're going to get rain, possibly heavy here. It's expected to start in the next hour, and it will rain all day, all tonight and all tomorrow, and pretty much all day Sunday, too. So, yeah. Meanwhile, I saw this right about airtime. This is a hell of a thing. There was a vote in the House. The Veteran and Food Security Act passed the House, but 49 Republicans and maggots voted against it. Mm-hmm. It passed 376-49. 8 non-voting. 218 Democrats voted for it, 158 Republicans. No Democrats voted against it. Veterans, food, and security. Those 49 Republicans voted against food and security for veterans of the United States military. And they'll probably all be reelected here in a little over 5 weeks' time. So that says something not only about the 49 Republicans, it says something about the people who send the 49 Republicans to Congress. I really don't want to, I don't ever want to hear another Republican talking about supporting the troops. Because they don't. They only care about, they only care about our military as long as they're able to wave the bloody shirt. Yeah, harumph! 49 Republicans. And every last one of them probably believes that the 2020 election was stolen. God. Wow. And six adults, it turns out, were injured in the shooting in Oakland yesterday. Jesus. Not a lot of details beyond that. And in Today in Pooty, the formal move to annex Luhansk and Donetsk and Kherson and Well, Pooty has been raving a bit of late. Raving a lot. He railed against the growing influence of West. We need a liberation anti-colonial movement against unipolar hegemony. The West is ready to step over everything to preserve the neocolonial system that allows it to parasitize, in fact, to plunder world at expense of power of dollar and technological dictate. The countries of West have nothing to offer other than robbery and racketeering, which is hilarious given the fact that, well, Pooty is an old KGB spook who came to power in the collapse of the Soviet Union robbery and racketeering. West, it spits on natural right of billions of people, most of humanity, to freedom and justice, to determine their future on their own. Determine their future on their own, in this case, means being forced at gunpoint to be under the thumb of a hateful Russian dictator. What's interesting, though, is in particular is a phrase that he used. that phrase, I read this and I was like, what? It's Luhansk, Donetsk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia. Don't know why I keep forgetting Zaporizhia. Maybe because it's a really long word. But in the course of his speech, Putin said, among other things, we will defend land with all the powers and means at our disposal. And he blamed somebody, not him, for the breaches in the Nord Stream pipeline. And said the West is responsible for global food and energy crises. And then he said this. The sanctions were not enough for Anglo-Saxons. They moved on to sabotage. Anglo-Saxons? Really? Anglo-Saxons, Pootie? Anglo-Saxons. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd swear that he was buddies with, the League of the South. Oh, wait a minute. He is allied with the League of the South, those neo-Confederate pricks. How about that? Anglo-Saxons. Pretty sure Volodymyr Zelensky is not an Anglo-Saxon. He's not Æthelred the Unready. Or Æthelbert. Nope, he's a Slavic Jew, just like I guess Ashkenazic? Right. But just reading a translation of the speech, one gets the idea that Putin is not screwed down real tight, which is a worrisome thing for somebody who has a button, you know, a nuclear button. And he also sort of, he intimated that he would be willing to use them. And said, we will use all means of defense at our disposal to defend Russian territory. And that's where this becomes really sketchy. Because now that he has annexed those four areas that aren't Russia and just grabbed them, you know, by the way, that election that took place, election officials showed up at people's doors in the four regions, accompanied by armed military. You want to vote to be Russian, don't you? It's hard to vote no with a gun at your head. But this is the scary part. Now he's going to start, some of the people being mobilized to go to the Ukrainian war maybe being mobilized as part of the let's put up flagpoles and Russian flag crews. I mean, this is, if it weren't for the nuclear warfare aspect of this, it would almost be as comical as, you know, Marvin Martian planting his flag and saying, I claim this planet in the name of Mars. Yes. But there are nuclear weapons involved. And I got to thinking, because it's not like this has never been heard of in the history of Mother Russia. The people that Stalin didn't murder outright, he relocated. Remember, Stalin was actively involved in in an attempted genocide in Ukraine, an attempt to erase Ukrainian identity altogether. And you got to wonder if this mobilization may be, you know, granted, his army there in Ukraine sucks because they're comprised of fuck-ups and dead-enders and ne'er-do-wells and criminals and crooks. And, well, in many ways, they're kind of like the mercenary force that Spain cobbled together to attack the New World in that regard. You know, Columbus's crew was a bunch of fuck-ups and ne'er-do-wells, too. You know, rapists, murderers, thieves. But what if he's, what if he is, because the reports coming out of Siberia say that that Russian authorities are coming along and basically just taking every male in the area, not selectively. What if this isn't a forced migration, a forced depopulation and repopulation, and he's going to put those people in Ukraine? In Luhansk and Donetsk and Kherson and Zaporizhia? Is that possible? It's just something that popped into my mind as I was reading this madness. By the way, in his nutso speech, he also said that South Korea, Japan, and Germany are slaves. And they said these governments, Germany is especially being watched with listening devices not only in their offices but also in residential premises. Him crazy. And you gotta wonder how long that, well, look how long Stalin lasted. But he can't live forever. Closing the speech, he said, "Truth is behind us. Russia is behind us." The truth is beyond him. So we imposed more sanctions on more than 1,000 top Russian officials and businesses. And President Biden said that Putin is showing contempt for peaceful nations everywhere. Said the annexation is phony. Josep Fontel, the top diplomat at the EU, said the announced annexation of Ukrainian territories by Russia is a major breach of international law and violation of UN Charter. No sham referendum can justify it. Ukraine's territorial integrity and sovereignty is non-negotiable. The EU's support to Ukraine remains unwavering. Robert Metsola is president of the European Parliament, and he said, "We do not recognize Russia's sham referenda. We do not recognize Kremlin's illegal annexation." More power to Ukraine. Push the fuckers out. And frankly, if they could return to the territory, their territorial borders pre-2014 and the annexation of Crimea, that would be even better. But he's going to have to be beaten, Putin, and he's going to have to be beaten thoroughly. By the way, climate change, going back to the hurricane, climate change denial code word, Stephen New York says, "I saw two people yesterday who were from Florida. We talked about Ian, obviously. I remarked how awful it was, and there was a series still coming. Their response, oh, this happens all the time." Well, yeah, more than it used to. But then again, as I observed in yesterday's program, every hurricane since we have begun keeping records has been a climate change impacted hurricane, because climate change was observed in the late 1800s. So it may actually turn out to be all we know. We don't know what hurricanes in the 1700s or, well, we don't know what hurricanes in pre-invasion Americas were like. I'm sure they happened, but somehow or another, the people who lived there then managed them to a certain extent. Because they were still here when the white folks arrived and started genociding them. Yeah. And as far as Biden's response to the hurricane, Matt in San Francisco says, sure, Biden had people on the ground prior to the storm. Various government agencies are executing their recovery plans, but he's not measuring up to the former guy. What people in Florida, what people in Florida need now is paper towels. Why isn't he down there tossing paper towels into the crowd? They deserve better. Yeah, come on out from your spider hole at Magaloco Mussolini and toss around some brawnies and some bounties. Now, I'm sure that's his favorite paper towel, nitwit Nero, brawnies. According to the new book, the new profit maker by Maggie Haberman. Nitwit Nero was obsessed with the sexuality of people around him. What? But yeah. That's just bizarre. Of course, Mags is still getting some hell about the fact that she withheld the information that could have been vital to the nation. Yeah. The book is called, this is unpaid product placement, I guess, but it's called Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. And there is apparently a passage in it about his obsession with masculinity. And when I read that, I thought back to something Annette said a while back. You know, there are pictures of him in like a little, when he was younger, in a little short kimono robe, laying on his side on a very dainty looking bed. And I remember Annette looking at that and saying, no. But early in his administration, he was meeting with Jason Miller and Mike Pence. And he said of Jason Miller,
yeah, he certainly likes the ladies. You know how sometimes someone turns out to be gay later and you knew this guy, he isn't even like 1% gay.
And then he would wonder who in his orbit was. He had an executive in the Trump Organization by the name of Alan Marcus, who he constantly,
he's queer,
and not in the way that we use queer now, as in recovering the word, but as a slur, a pejorative. And according to Maggie Haberman, he bragged that he paid Alan Marcus less. They also, the aides did, recalled Trump mocking gay men or men who were seen as weak with the words queer or that word that begins with F. And then they got around to the discussion. Of course they did. Rince Priebus. Still laugh when I see that dude's name. Rince Priebus and he were in a conversation at one point, and Rince Priebus asked Nitwit Nero why, we really don't know, a hypothetical question from the standpoint of a trans girl student being able to use the girl's restroom. And Nitwit Nero answered, cocked or decocked? Never mind the fact that by definition, a high school trans girl is not going to have had surgery. And somebody, not named in the book, said, decocked, sir. And Nitwit Nero responded by making a chopping gesture and said,
with cock or without cock? I mean, that determines how I answer the question. I mean, what if a girl was in the bathroom and someone came in, lifted up a skirt, and a schlong was hanging out?
Your tax dollars at work. Oh, my God. Really? But there's no reason for me to be surprised. It's just the what was that early phrase? A tiny fingered vulgarian? Yeah. And he had a hissy about the book. He went to his sleazy little broke-ass social media platform.
Here we go again. Another fake book is out. This one supposedly very boring and stale by self-appointed head case, failing unfunded liability, New York Times writer Maggie Hagerman.
No, really.
In it, she tells many made-up stories with zero fact-checking or confirmation by anyone who would know, like me. In one case, she lies about me wanting to fire my daughter, Iwanka, and Jared.
Actually, it's fire my daughter, Iwanka, and Jared. What are they, a bicule? What?
Wrong, pure fiction, never even crossed my mind. Just have to fight troublemaking creeps like Maggie and all the rest.
The problem is Maggie Haberman then tweeted a photo answering of questions that he answered in Sharpie. Former POTUS wanted John Kelly to move the president's daughter and son-in-law out of the White House. Why did he ultimately decide not to?
False story. Kelly was too dumb to properly handle even an event, if true, which it was not. Which it was not.
God Almighty. Oh, okay. Thank you, Brendan. Brendan says, hey, Robin, Rince is really a contraction of Reinhardt. I think we should be calling him by his real name, Reinhardt. And, oh, it was Spy Magazine called that orange fecal stain a short-fingered vulgarian. Thank you, Brendan, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department for that particular topic this afternoon. Thank you. Oh, my God. So, isn't it funny that the only things that are ever true about him are the things that are flattering for him? Oh, by the way, Doug Mastriano is running for governor in Pennsylvania. And there was going to be, he held a big rally That's how it's built up. Big rally in Harrisburg, PA, which is, of course, the state capital. For the big rally in Harrisburg, it drew 60 people. Not sure if that included the media that showed up. He's had no TV ads since May. He doesn't interact with media in a way that would help him push his narrative. He's all maggot all the time. You know, the conventional wisdom is that you primary to your base and then you move toward the center, especially if you're a Republican. You move toward the center for the general. Well, Doug Mastriano has not done that. Republican Governors Association has no plans to help him. And, well, one hopes that his opponent, Attorney General Shapiro, will prevail. The co-chair of the Republican Governors Association is Doug Ducey from Arizona. When he was asked about Mastriano, Ducey said, you know, we don't fund lost causes and we don't fund landslides. You have to show us something. You have to demonstrate you can move numbers and you can raise resources. Yeah, oops. But, you know, the thing is, if he loses, we know what the response will be. Because it's how the maggots are now trained to respond, whether you're Laura Looney or any of these other freaks that have lost. It'll be because
it was rigged. It was rigged. The election was stolen.
God. Oh, and thank you, Lady B. Lady B jumped in. We are down below $300 to go to finish the month of September based on the magnificent help we got from Larry in Liberalville. Thanks, Larry, and thanks, Lady B. $290. And Ralph said, come on, people. Don't make me sick Lassie on you all. Lassie, Robin's down the well. No, Ralph's, he's not. It's a different spelling. Steve Ducey and Doug Ducey, they spell their names differently. Although they have similar philosophies, so maybe there's some genetic material somewhere in the background. What the RGA chair said, Steve in New York says, that was code for, are you fucking kidding? The dude's fucking crazy. Yeah. Oh, and Pootie also. The West is doomed. I worry about him completely. We don't know what kind of fail-safes are in place in Mother Russia. I worry about him going nuts and just deciding that now that the planet's done with him, he's done with the planet, and you know, fuck it. And I sit around one. I do. It's kind of an existential terror thing. If he decides to use it, and I asked this the other night, if he decides to use a tactical nuclear device in Ukraine, how does everybody else respond? And will Xi Jinping in China just co-sign him and you know, whatever? I don't know. Oh, come on, says Brother Deacon Asa. Zelensky is obviously an Ashkenazi, that's A-S-K-A-S-H-K-E hyphen N-A-Z-I,
Brother Kikasa loves it when I do that.
Oh. Wait, are there Brussels sprouts on the menu in the Brother Deacon household this evening? Those look yummy. And by the way, back to the ongoing hissy. Jesus. Over Lizzo and the crystal flute. Well, the poor little snowflake wing nuts are in full meltdown. And the Library of Congress invited Lizzo to come because she is a classically trained flautist. Library of Congress, Carla Hayden there, tweeted, Library of Congress has the largest flute collection in the world with more than 1,800. It includes President James Madison's 1813 crystal flute. We'd love for you to come and see it and even play a couple when you're in D.C. next week. Like your song, they are good as hell. The invitation came from, like I said, Carla Hayden, who is the Librarian of Congress. And then Ben Shapiro, remember Ben, the little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby who has a distinct lack of understanding of female anatomy, threw a hissy over Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's hit from a year or more ago, 2 years ago, you know, WAP. Little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby neo-Nazi Ben Shapiro said, this Lizzo flute controversy... Wait, he talks really fast. This Lizzo flute controversy is a perfect example of what I've termed face tattoo phenomenon, the phenomenon whereby somebody does something deliberately controversial in an attempt to draw attention and then acts offended when you notice. Go ask your wife about it, Ben. Greg Price saying that the Library of Congress degraded our history and then call you racist if you actually value it. Now, one person pointing out that Lizzo is such an interesting person for right-wing content creators to moralize about because she's so squeaky clean. She makes catchy songs about positivity and plays the flute. There's no plausible deniability that they hate her for any other reason than being black and fat. Yeah, I'm sure that the Wingnuts would not have had a hissy had, say, that dude from Jethro Tull showed up in his Aqualung costume looking all greasy and grody and slimy and covered in... what's the line from it? Snot is running down his nose, and stood on one leg and played the crystal flute. That would have been fine, cause white. And then George Takei just caught the tenor of the moment. If you wouldn't have a problem with Taylor Swift playing Ben Franklin's piano, you shouldn't have a problem with Lizzo playing James Madison's flute. If you do have a problem, stop and think about why that is. And then just sort of doubling down on all the right wing butt hurtery. Someone else said, personally, I think Lizzo should be in a movie where she's a beautiful flute playing mermaid who lures sailors to their watery doom. Yeah, put Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro in the sailor suits, would you? And then there's the fact that James Madison, who owned the flute, as well as a lot of human beings, well, he's the one who proposed the 3/5 compromise that remains in the Constitution of the United States to this day. It was overridden for the most part, in theory, by the 13th Amendment, but Tammy Sawyer said, James Madison was the author of the Three-Fifths Compromise. He's lucky Lizzo didn't break that flute into five pieces and throw it off the stage. Stay mad. Tell it. The things they're mad. They're just mad about everything and miserable. Yeah, Steve says, Steve in New York says, subject line, Lizzo, this has a you might be a racist if moment to it. Yeah, if you're pissed off that a black woman played a right. And as I said, you know, if you consider the context, that the crystal flute was a gift to James Madison. And so if anybody had, James Madison didn't play it, but if anybody else did, there's better than even odds that the last person to play that flute was roughly the same color as Lizzo. Not unheard of. So I have Phil Robsard through the first hour of the program. There's a lot more content yet to come, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. Hopefully, we are connected now. Let's go over the river and through the trees and check in and see what's happening inside the old holler tree. Hey, Sparky, how are you? I am connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Audio? Anybody? Jump in.
I can hear you, Robin. This is Emilio.
Hey, Emilio. Good. I'm glad to know that.
I had my sound settings muted.
Oops. How you doing, Sparky?
I'm hanging in there.
Good. I see you didn't fold space today. Crappy weather?
No, not real crappy, but I just didn't feel like being out there. My knee's been giving me problems all day.
Is this the one you got replaced?
No, I haven't got a knee replacement yet.
Oh, I was thinking about the knee grease. And
yeah, that's what I still do.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Okay.
I get out of bed in the morning and hardly walk.
Oh, I hate that.
And then I got a... My middle toe on my left foot's got a sore on the bottom of it.
Ouch! Did a shoe rub you the wrong way?
No, I've had a big patch of dead skin on it, and I've been trying to get it gone by using this foot cream. I've got a bunch of it off there, and I've soaking my foot in the Epsom salt.
Been to a doctor or a podiatrist or anything about it?
Nah, I had same growths on other toes, and I got rid of it with that cream.
That sounds unpleasant.
I know, it takes time for it to go. Sorry, I was distracted. I had to change my view.
Well, anything wild and wonderful going on in the wonderful world of Sparky?
Not really. Just hanging out day after day. Working out in the shop mostly.
Well, I discovered something delightfully tasty. I've mentioned that over at our little Ben Franklin dime store in Fayetteville, it's like a trip into the past. You know, creaky wooden floors and everything. They've got all these wonderful Amish-style canned goods. And I saw something that just caught my eye from the show. I love apple butter on hot biscuits with butter. But I saw this stuff and it's like, oh, I got to have that. It's pear butter. Pear butter. And tried that today on some hot biscuits. And holy cow. I mean, I love apple butter, but no, this is a... And, you know, I think maybe if we have the horn in again, I'll make sure some of this is on the table for breakfast with some hot biscuits. Because, damn. It was some kind of good. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I love the flavor of pears. And this just, the pears, the spice, the caramelization. It's magic. Just magic.
Never been a big fan of pears.
Well, they can be kind of gross to just eat because they're either hard as rocks or then they get all squishy and mealy. Oh, but these are the flavor.
I've got a memory of in my childhood of a pear orchard.
Good memory, bad?
Well, it was on my uncle's 54 acres of property outside of Nevada City. He had this big metal building up there, and we just camped up there. We were gold mining at the time. I don't know if I ever told you them stories.
Well, you told me about your dad and you mining in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that was?
Well, that was one of them. One of the years. I did it for years and years and years. Growing up.
That must have been cool as can be.
Yeah, camping out every summer. Doing something every summer, that's for sure. But there was a big pear orchard down there, and we went down there at night, and there was porcupines up in the pear orchards. First time I ever seen a porcupine.
How close contact did you make with the porcupine?
Not that close. He was up in the tree.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have no porcupine knowledge whatsoever. Porcupines can climb trees?
Yes, they can.
I'll be dipped. See, I learn new things every day.
You didn't know that?
No, because I know raccoons and possums and skunks, but I've never run across, but I had no, I thought they just scurried around on the ground or maybe burrowed or something, and... I mean, a friend of mine up in northern Wisconsin told me about the day that his entirely too curious Labrador retriever got his first view of a porcupine and came back with a snoot full of quills. But I didn't know they could climb trees.
Yeah. As God is my witness, I didn't know porcupines could climb trees.
Exactly, Emilio, exactly. And now we're coming, you know, next month is November, and it'll be time for the great WKRP turkey drop again. Landing like bags of wet cement. Jesus, we're off and running on this Friday on the front porch.
Yeah, some people... Like,
cook
pears
in,
like, wine and such.
What's that, Amelia?
What's that, smart ass?
Oh, Jeremy. Breaking news is all I heard.
Yeah.
So breaking news, most forms of bears climb trees as well.
Well, yeah, and shit in the woods, but I mean... Didn't know about the porcupines.
Yeah, with bears, it's hard. You don't know what. Do you fight? Do you play dead? Do you run?
I mean, pretty much anywhere a people can go, a bear can go.
Yeah, but what I was saying earlier is that some people poach their bears in wine. I haven't tried that, but...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Cool. You ever had bear meat?
No, I have not. I have a dear friend who was related to the frontier explorer, whatever, Jesse Chisholm. And she told me years ago that Jesse Chisholm died from eating tainted bear meat, and that put me off the idea of eating bear meat forevermore. I hear it's greasy.
Yeah, and it's stringy, too. Years and years ago, this friend of mine from here in Rhettown, he moved to Idaho. But he got some bear meat, had a bear roast, put it in a Dutch oven. And he dug there's a big old pit out there and off the side of one of the neighbor's house across the street from his. And we build a fire in that pit, and then when it gets down to the coals, you take and they had some corrugated metal, you throw it over the hole, and then you bury the corrugated metal with dirt and let it sit in there for about, I don't know, it seemed like all day. They called it a bean hole. I know they call it something else in Hawaii.
Bear fat's really good for a frying type number. I had some bear tacos one time, and the tacos, the tortilla shells, were done in bear grease. And the really nice thing about bear grease is it has a really, really high smoke point.
Okay, that confused me. I wasn't sure whose phone it was. Is it gamey?
Might have been his phone. All I remember about that bear meat was it's stringy.
Well, you know, it may have been tainted bear grease, now that I think about it, that knocked out poor old Jesse Chisholm. You know, Chisholm Trail, all of that, yeah. The things you remember.
Just have to have that right trigger, right?
Yeah, and it was just laying there on a neuron, and it's like, nope, wake up, get busy.
Yeah, it's funny things in mind does. Oh, I was going to ask you, have you seen that big old, it's called Operation Barbecue?
No, what is it? Tell me.
Rescue Relief?
No.
There's this guy who drives a big old flatbed truck down there, and they have these big old barbecue ovens or something on the truck, and they have refrigerators on the truck. And then a whole bunch of people descend from all over the country with trailers to set up the...
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember something like that from years and years back.
Well, they had the story on MSNBC today. And they interviewed the head guy of the Operation Barbecue. And they asked for donations, of course. And they put it on the screen said Operation Barbecue on top, and then Red Cross had the numbers, and then some other thing.
I think that's a beautiful idea.
Really neat looking truck. With all these ovens set up on it.
Oh, I'll bet. And it's like a full-on flatbed?
Yeah.
I mean, like pulled by a tractor trailer? Or Yeah. Oh, how cool.
My big rig.
That's awesome.
And I think they have like 100 volunteers that follow them to the location to help. And they think they can put out like 60,000 meals a day.
Well, I'm sure Chef Jose Andres will be somewhere in the mix soon as well. His World Kitchen is an amazing undertaking.
He said this Operation Barbecue's already been in contact with the restaurants down there that are still in business. I mean, he's got volunteers from them and other places, I guess. But they showed an aerial view where they set up in this big lot. It's just like a food, canned food pickup or whatever you want to call it that you see in Texas last year.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. It's the same principle. You drive through there and then you pick up a plate of barbecue and you drive off.
That's just a beautiful humanitarian effort. And my God, knowing the price of meat now, that's even more expensive than it was before. It reminds me that I need to fire up the smoker at least one more time before the awful stuff hits. You know, otherwise known as winter.
Yeah.
Oh, and I need to send out a thank you. Thank you so much to our buddy George in Coarse Gold. Thank you, George. Just jumped in and got us down to $240 to go to finish fundraising. Thank you, George. Thank you so much. And glad to have you on, helping to complete the biggest Horn Family Community Congregation Community Made Miracle in the history of the network. As to the flute fiasco, I got a note from Clarence here. Glad to know you're safe, Clarence. I wonder if Madison played that flute or did his unpaid help entertain him and his family with it. Yeah, see, that's exactly what I was thinking. Jeremy in Vermont is apparently on a roll today. I'm surprised that the Orange Menace hasn't suggested that Volodymyr Zelensky's father helped kill Jesus yet. Oh, he'll get around to it. That's the kind of shit you don't want to whisper into the ear of the universe, but yeah. And Lady B with a note said, I haven't had a chance to listen much the past couple of days, but Florida? Jesus, I'm sad. They're part of the U.S. I have friends down there, but at the same time, I can't help but want DeSantis to suffer. He won't. He'll come out of this smelling like a rose. Not having a state sales tax might be fun during your fair weather days, but it's not helpful when half of your fucking state's destroyed, and the stunts he plays with their money should be against the law. So God help Florida. We, as the United States, help the people of Florida. But if there's any way to punish DeSantis and get rid of that fucking narcissistic sociopath, then let this be the way. He don't care about you, Florida, and shit's only gonna get worse. And to think that, I co-sign all of that, Lady B, and to think about, again, what the hell is wrong with Harvard? That stupid racist bastard is Harvard educated. But then again, when you think about, the way that Harvard profited from, maybe it's not such a surprise after all. I saw that I saw Tracy came into the room. You there, Tracy?
She's got it on mute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say because I saw her there, but it's like, hey, where's? Doesn't help to have people like me that don't talk much.
Yeah, don't just leave this to me and Sparky. I mean, I did a 3-hour filler lobster last night. I'm still kind of tired.
I just can't think of anything right now.
Oh, I got plenty of stories.
Well, I gotta come up with something so Jeremy will play off of it.
Why oh no!
Discord group. No, I won't go there. Then.
Oh, let's get it out of the way because. Oh, is that you, Tracy?
Can you hear me?
You're very faint.
I
don't know what's happening with my phone. I had this morning.
It's getting louder.
It's getting what?
Yeah, it's getting better. It was very faint to begin with.
Okay, that's better. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. No, I was having an issue with my phone today. It was weird. They would call and it would go straight to voicemail. It wouldn't even ring. And I thought, well, did I put it on this? Did I do this? So I called Apple Support, and they're like, they did it, and they said, okay, turn it on and turn it off. And of course, I never think about this. You never think about the simplest things to do, right? Just reboot the I never think about rebooting my phone. If it was my computer, and first thing we do is reboot it. But my phone, I'm like, I guess if I had just rebooted the phone, but it was so, I don't know if I'm still having issues, but how is everybody doing? Long time no chat to my horn brethren and all that. And my sister, Robin, how y'all doing? Okay.
I'm up here in Northern California roasting.
Well, that's cool. I'm here in Southern California about to get and start fighting Friday traffic, so that's gonna be fun. But
and then the frickin' winds are starting to come back again like they do every October now.
I was gonna ask, are those the Santa Anas?
Santa Ana winds or something else.
Yep. It's not the Santa, it's something else. The Santa Anas, no. But yeah, no, it's not the Santa Ana.
Now, I was here stealing. Any mention of the Santa Ana winds triggers my little DJ brain, and I always hear that the chorus in Babylon Sisters. Here come those Santa Ana winds again.
Well, I don't know what they call the winds up here, but a couple of years ago, remember the car fire and the Paradise Fire? They were caused by winds. And that's when we started getting the power shutdowns, safety power shutdowns from PG&E.
Maybe it's like that song from Paint Your Wagon. They call the wind Mariah. No singing!
Oh! I have to see if I can find that somewhere streaming. Because I saw it a million years ago. But you keep talking about it, so I'm gonna
just Google it.
I know. I just got to figure out what platform is on, what streaming platform it has.
It's out there somewhere.
It's out there somewhere. So it's just a matter of, you know, and if I'm lucky with all the places, all the subscription services that I have, it actually might be playing on one of my subscription services, so I don't have to pay for it. That's always
I'll nice. Check for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing quite like hearing Clint Eastwood sing.
Right. That part. Back when I used to really like Clint Eastwood, but not so much
in
now.
The Los Angeles Basin, they could be called Santa Anas. In the San Francisco Bay Area, they're called Diablo. And I can't find what they are for up around Sparky's area.
Are they all the same wind, though, Roger?
No, they're different winds.
Not really.
The Santa Ana Mountains are the where they come off of through the L.A. Basin. And then there's Mount Diablo to the east of the San Francisco Bay Area. And they're an east to west flowing wind. And Mount Diablo is the high point, and they're coming from Mount Diablo, so they call them the Diablo winds. I guess Sparky could be called the Lassen winds.
No, they're not coming from Lassen, though. They come from the north.
Then they're the Shasta Winners.
Or, so, or the Trinity Out, somewhere up there.
But I just don't find a name for them in the searching I was doing.
Yeah. But if you ever want to see something really mesmerizing, just Google wind map. It has a whole map of the United States, and it shows you all the wind patterns.
That's one of the things that I studied last semester in my sustainability class, the different wind patterns, and especially when it comes to hurricane winds and because of climate change and stuff like that. We had to look at maps. One of our assignments and a couple of exams, we had to look and see the direction of the wind and to whether or not it would be hurricane or this kind of wind or this kind of wind. And if somebody asked me to do it again, I would look at them like, hell no, I don't know. I got an A in the class. That's all I care about. If I ever have to think about that shit again, it will not be anytime too soon.
Well, you know, it's really interesting.
You dumped your memory bank.
I've been here long, and I've been here in the hills and hollers long enough that I noticed a phenomenon almost contemporaneous with the beginning of this program. I just call it the scrubbing wind. We'll have a couple of days of really hard winds, long about late November, early December, and it will scrub every last leaf off of every tree. And then you know, wow. And then you know you're in the teeth of it.
Wow. You want your answer on paint your wagon?
Yes.
It's listing stars.
Oh, I have stars.
The Roku channel with a premium subscription, Hulu with a premium subscription, and it says Amazon Prime Video with a premium subscription.
Cool. I have all of those.
Yeah. I've never heard of Philo, but that too. And then you can buy it on YouTube, Google Play Movies, Vudu, and Apple TV.
Yeah, I won't be buying it, but I will definitely, especially since I can watch it for free on Hulu or.
I'll see if it brings up on my Amazon.
You know, one of the reasons I love that movie so much is it has one of the great environmental lyrics of all time. I mean, there are magnificent songs throughout, but Lee Marvin, Ben Rumson in the movie, delivers this one song called "The First Thing You Know." But the opening lines are just magic.
Yeah.
And A, you know, Lee, again, I said Clint Eastwood singing. Yeah, Lee Marvin singing.
Lee Marvin singing. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of somewhere between a croak and a growl.
Does he talk slang like Rex Harrison did in My Fair Lady?
Kinda. Only worse. But God made the mountains, God made the sky, God made the people, God knows why. He fixed up the planet as best as he could, and in come the people and gum it up good. The first thing you know, they civilized the foothills, and everywhere he put hills, the mountains and valleys below, they civilized the city till nothing is pretty, and it's a place no civilized person would go. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
And it was shot in Oregon. You know, as a stand-in for California, exactly. Probably cheaper back then.
But there still is a lot of old mining towns and camps all over the hills out there.
And of course, the female lead in it is Jean Seberg, and she was basically mentally tortured to death by the FBI, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. I got lost a little bit. What movie is this again?
Paint Your Wagon.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I still remember going to the movie theater to watch it. I think I had a date.
Yeah, there it is. She was tortured by the FBI under COINTELPRO.
Yeah, COINTELPRO, because didn't she do... They actually had a movie about her a little while ago that did horribly in the box office. But it was her story, and it was COINTELPRO, not just for black folks.
Yeah, well, but they went after her because of, among other things, the $10,500 that she gave to the Black Panther Party for self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Robin, thank you for adding for self-defense. Thank you.
Well, that's what I mean, that was their name.
I know, but you know, most people always say the Black Panther Party, and they conveniently leave off for self-defense.
That's why I always put it on there.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I like getting things right.
The Panther Party is also the original originator of Ride or Die, too, so...
Didn't know that.
But basically, it's a saying that if you carry a weapon, be prepared to use it.
Hey, so fun fact, Sparky. I actually, the other day, I picked up a couple, and, you know, I drove them from the airport to Laguna Niguel, which was a long-ass trip because we were stuck in traffic. You know, so, you know, we were talking. I'm like, so where are you from? They said, Northern California. I'm like, what part? They said, well, you've never heard of the town. I said, try me. And they said, Redding. I'm like, hey, yeah. I've heard of Redding. I know somebody who lives in Redding. They're like, you're kidding me.
I don't live in Redding anymore.
But you
well,
did.
I didn't know that at the time. Yeah. You know, but
I did.
But you did. So... Like I
yeah,
said,
I wouldn't I, live in that wait, city now.
But you live somewhere with red in the name, so that kind of, you know, that's at least half credit.
Yeah, I live 30 miles south of Redding.
Right, but the fact of the matter is, I knew, because they thought that no one had ever heard of Redding. And I'm like, yep, heard of it.
Oh, shit. You know the number of people that... move from LA to Redding is astronomical.
Yeah, no. And this was a Pakistani couple. So it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But they were very, very nice. Very nice. And
there's a little bit of everything in Redding, I'll tell you that much.
The only problem, it was so funny. Huh? Wait, say that again?
I said there's a little bit of everything. All cultures, yeah. All religions, all faiths. There's a big temple you can see off the freeway, a Sikh temple, I think it is.
Wow. Why wouldn't you live in Redding? What's wrong with Redding?
It's getting too big now.
Ah, okay.
I grew up in the house I live in now. That's where I live here. Okay. And I like it. And I got almost 2 acres of property. And I got 2 of the most beautiful redwood trees you've ever seen.
Wow.
Rick was here just, a couple weeks ago. Rick stayed the night with me.
Nice. Nice.
He was driving to Seattle for his son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he started his new job up in Seattle.
Wait, his son started a new job in Seattle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, you guys remember, I haven't been on the call in a minute, so all this is it's brand spanking news to me.
Yeah, they even had a mini hornet up in Seattle.
Nice. So it was Jude and who else? And Rick and anybody and who else?
Didn't Asa come down?
Yeah, Asa came down. And they apparently had some amazing damn pizza.
Nice.
And it was
Chris
huge.
Was in on it too.
Did Chris drive up?
I'm sorry, Roger. I stepped on you there. What did you say?
I think Chris met up too. Chris that lives in Portland.
He drives all over the place.
Yeah,
but I think he was in Portland at that point and met up with everybody as well.
My trip is coming up pretty soon to Portland. So that's, I got to hook up with Chris and stuff like that. It'll be January before I know it.
You driving or flying?
Oh, God, no, I'm flying. I mean, I don't mind driving. It's not a terrible drive, but I don't have that much time. And I'm going to go spend time with my son, so I don't want to lose time driving up there when I could at least I could fly and spend the time with my son. And this will be, and he's doing exceptionally well there. He's hoping that by the time I come up, because he's looking for his own, because he's kind of tired of living with my sister and my brother-in-law. And so, he's looking for a place right now. So
it only takes a couple hours to fly from L.A. to Portland.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, I'm going up Martin Luther King Day weekend. And so I'm leaving the Thursday before then, and I'm coming home that Monday. Because I'll still be on winter break. From a grad program, so that part. And grad school's going pretty good. It's a lot, but I'm really enjoying the program. I'm learning a lot. I've actually had a meeting today with another professor, because each semester we have to, it's a 5-semester program. And each semester, we have to work on toward our capstone project. So we have to come up with, this semester, we have to come up with an idea. And so my idea is the criminalization of poor Black women and the effects of that on their mental health. And I met with a professor, her name is Dr. Escobar, and she was, I didn't even know we had this at CSUN called Project Rebound, and they provide services for formerly incarcerated people or people who have had a felony, any kind of conviction, and help them, get resources and mentoring and counseling and whatever you need to get you through your, graduate or undergraduate program. And in talking to her today, she was asking me if she might be able to find a program for me to help me pay for my master's. And I'm like, thank you very much. So that was exciting. Okay, you guys, what's going on? Is everybody sleeping?
Right here listening.
No, I'm just listening to the car sound. You're going
over the
seams bumps in the road or something.
I'm very excited about this, and I'm very excited about my master's program. So that part.
I'm glad you're doing well, Tracy, with your program. And maybe I'll actually ask you for some advice, because I want to start school at some point soon.
I love about my program is, wait, hold on, I'm sorry.
Okay, it'd be dead air.
No, I love I just saw a meme, and I'm sitting here. I muted my microphone because I guffawed and kind of giggled.
Well, since we're at a little slow point here,
well, just real quick, like, remember Barbecue Becky? The woman who called the cops on a black family grilling in the park.
It was in Oakland at Lake Merritt.
Yeah. And there's a picture. God bless our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor. It's a picture of Barbecue Becky with her phone against her face, you know, with her sunglasses on, and all it says is, "Yes, that's right, a flute."
There you go. That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I just watched her play the flute last Saturday night on Saturday Night Live. It was a rerun. But...
Yeah, that's right. A flute. All these people.
That's what's really affecting the country right now. Yeah.
Right. All the things. And that's oh my God. It's like, don't these people ever get tired?
They don't. No. They are fueled. They are fueled by their anger and their petulant hate. When you're down to the point like little Benny Shapiro, of comparing a black woman playing a historic flute to someone getting a tattoo on their face.
What?
You're pretty well gone.
Did I shriek? Oh wow. Well, you know. You and I talked about this morning, Robin, the latest attack ads on Karen Bass for Rick Caruso. Do you know that this man has spent over $60 million on his campaign?
Holy crap.
Money. $60 million. I'm like, so the latest attack ad is...
To become mayor of L.A.?
Yes, to become mayor of Los Angeles. And this is all money. This is a totally, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's getting contributions because I know that he is. I mean, the police union spent, LAPD police union spent $4 million during the primary. And allegedly they're not going to, a lot of people are calling them out on it. So allegedly they're not going to contribute any money, you know, for the general election, but $4 million. So that's about a total of like $70 million. And so the latest attack ad is that Karen Bass is a Scientologist. So there's a clip of her talking about Scientology. She's at some kind of event. So if you look closely at the ad, at the clip that they're using, you can see that it's an older clip because her hair is a different color now than it is on that video. And if you bother to do any research, come to find out that she was at a ribbon cutting ceremony for Scientology, and because they were opening a building, a temple, whatever the hell they call it, in her district. And this was the clip. The video was from 2010, before a lot of people really found out a lot about what Scientology was really about. And so for him, so the next morning, because this attack ad, I think it started on Monday. And so she went on, they interviewed her on one of the local news stations. She's like, "I have not now, nor have I ever been a Scientologist. I'm a Baptist. This is the name of my pastor of my church." It's like, but it's just like you said, these people, you know, and I just want them to keep hammering on the fact when they, because I guess they're having another debate, but I need people, because, you know, he's running as a Democrat, but he didn't become a Democrat until 3 weeks before he announced his that he was running for mayor. So that meant he was a Republican during 9/11, I'm sorry, during January 6th. He was a Republican and a Trump supporter and all these things that have been going on since 3 weeks before he announced. So are you trying to tell me now that all of a sudden you are a diehard in the wool, you know, true blue Democrat? Miss me with that shit. But nobody, you know, I want people to, every time there's an ad or something, I want people to say, he just became a Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. Well, it worked for Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice.
True.
You know, he was Democrat for 15 minutes long.
Tracy, was that because of the jungle primary?
Yeah. Well, see, the Republicans were panicking because they knew, because everybody basically that was running for, you know, for in the primaries for mayor, nobody was going to be Karen Bass. Nobody. And so they had to come up with somebody to run, as a Democrat in name only. And so they got, so Rick Caruso jumped in because nobody could go with Karen Bass. And they're like, shit, what are we going to do? And Rick Caruso know damn well that even though, you know, L.A. is, you know, there are Republicans, but it is a strong Democratic city. It, you know, it's not all as progressive as people wanted to think that it is, but it is still a solidly blue city. And nobody that's a Republican is going to have a chance to become mayor. It's not going to happen. So hence Rick Caruso with all his billions decided to, you know, jump in the race because they had to have somebody that's a Republican. Oh, and so.
Well, there's never been a Republican mayor of L.A., has there?
Reardon. Reardon was the last Republican mayor since, yeah, that was, I think Reardon was the only Republican mayor we had in L.A. But I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But he was, we have had a Republican mayor since Reardon. And so, and that was, let's see, 90 something. So yeah, and to my fault, I was really never involved in city politics or cared about it. It never really paid attention other than voting. But yeah, Reardon, Republican mayor since Reardon. So we've had three mayors, St. Han, Philip Rosa, and Garcetti. So yeah, we've had three Republicans. We've had Democratic mayor since then. But yeah. And here's a fun fact. So apparently, because you know that he's a real estate developer, but he owns these two shopping living centers. One is called The Grove, and one is in LA next to Farmers Market. And the other one is called the Americana, and that's in Glendale. Well, anyway, apparently inside the Grove, he's making people, you know, there's, you know, Rick Caruso signs inside. And I guess, so apparently he was trying, there were people protesting or something outside of the Grove, and he was trying to get a cease and desist order. So people couldn't protest outside of the Grove, and the judge ruled against them because it's like what people do on public streets, they can do. You know, now on your inside the Grove, yes, they can, you know, you have every right to keep people from protesting because it's, you know, private property. However, the streets, because the way the streets work, there's public streets that interweave with inside the Grove. So you are, you know, even though it's a private property, you have public streets that go through it. So people have the right to protest. I think it's hilarious. You know, because these people are constantly trying to control the narrative. And with all that money that Rick Caruso and the police unions have spent on this election, Karen Bass is still ahead.
Is that noise coming from your car, Steve?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, that's one of my students.
One of her students. Hey, Tracy, I wanted to tell you something. Clarence just wrote in. Tropical storm update. It's been raining since last night. Wind speed started to increase at 10 a.m. with 25-mile-an-hour to 50-mile-an-hour gusts. Rain was heavy off and on all day. No heavy flooding in my neighborhood. That's because Florence, South Carolina, is 150 feet above sea level, and we're 70 miles from the Atlantic coast. Local rivers and streams are filled to the brim. I've not heard any damage reports. Internet service was down for about an hour. I'm doing fine. Just listening to Tracy. I love to hear my sister speak. Thanks for letting us know, Clarence.
Thank you, Clarence. I'm glad that you're okay. My mom is in North Carolina, and her power went out last night for about 7 hours. But it's back, but she said it's raining like a mug in North Carolina, but she's okay. And she's in Fayetteville, so she's nowhere really near the coast. But I'm glad. Where does Clarence live?
Florence, South Carolina. It's about 70 miles from the coast.
Okay. Actually, yeah, no. Any of my horn friends and family that are in this mess, I pray that you're okay. I hope that, you know, at some point that we will start we do take climate change seriously. It's just the people who are deniers and all. Oh, speaking of deniers, oh, damn it. I can't remember. I think it was on Peacock. It's either on Peacock or Paramount Plus, and it's a documentary about the oil companies and how much they knew about climate change and the money that they pumped into climate change denial,
right,
and stuff like that, and just the conspiracy. It makes me think akin to the tobacco company.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a direct analog.
You know, to them, you know, all those decades of lying about, you know, that cigarettes, you know, the causation of cancer, lung cancer and stuff. And it was a lie. And it's like, was not, you know, and so... Yeah, so I don't remember the name of it, but because those are the only two streaming stations I've been watching lately, Paramount Plus and Peacock, because Paramount Plus, I've been rewatching. I turned my best friend on to, you'll be happy to know, Sparky, onto Yellowstone, and she is now a Beth Dutton devotee. She is everything, so I was showing her different scenes from the things that Beth Dutton does, and so I turned her on to it on last Friday. I think she's already on season 3. What is that noise?
Sparky.
What was that?
That was a noise. That was
Sparky.
Like
Sparky walking around.
Okay. Well, I wanted
to notice, Tracy, that the new season trailer dropped and it starts November 7th for Yellowstone.
No.
Yep, 6 months.
I'm muted, Jeremy.
Yeah, it wasn't him. I don't know.
Someone's making noise then. I don't know who it is.
Isn't me.
Isn't me either. It's like they're putting a bed together or something.
There was like some construction going on, for God's sake.
Agent Fred, are you there?
I wanted to go back to the very beginning of the program here for a second, just to note a message I got from Kim in New York. Oh my God, the Declaration of Independence from Brussels sprouts was brilliant, and I got to say the teacher who thought up that assignment is also brilliant. Yeah, that right. And the beginning of the program, Suman's 10-year-old daughter had an assignment to write her own Declaration of Independence. They're studying the Declaration. And wow. So you could declare your independence from anything. And Suman's brilliant 10-year-old daughter declared independence from Brussels sprouts. It was wonderful. Check the archive. It's early on in the program, so.
Everybody has a childhood Brussels sprout story, I believe.
What is it? With the exception of my kids, because Brussels sprouts fans from jump, but even I wasn't.
I wasn't either, but my mom used to force it on us all the time.
Yeah, they're good for you.
Eat it. It's good for your bowels. Brussels sprouts.
My mother, her thing was lima beans and liver.
Liver. Now it depends. It depends, because I can knock down some chicken livers.
No. This was liver.
I had my fill of lima beans too.
She swears to this day. Me and my brother, I said one day she was mad at our stepfather, and for dinner she made lima beans and liver in the same meal. And she swears up and down, my brother and I are making it up. And I'm like, we are not making it up. It is not, you know, how is it that we are both talking about it and we're not in the same room? We've had different conversations. So, you know, you got that selective memory, mom, going, because you did that. You did that to us, lima beans. Now, I like lima beans now. But when I was a kid, it was like,
You're not the only one with a parent with selective memory. My sister, when she was still alive, and I recall one Christmas, my mom got her a little miniature piano, and within 2 days, it was gone, like from the house, disappeared. My mom cannot remember this story, does not remember this toy. I said, you got rid of it because it annoyed the shit out of you. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even remember this. So she can't remember it, supposedly.
Oh, no, she threw it away. She threw it away.
Your mom, you know, all parents occasionally have, every parent has the little lie they have told somewhere along the way because the truth was just too painful. We have ours. I will not disclose them. Clarence says, Tracy's mom, I'm 70 miles south of Fayetteville, North Carolina, straight down I-95. So, Randy Radar says, the remains of Ian are headed for West Virginia. Oh, yes, they are. And the outer remnants are already pretty much here, and it will rain all night and rain all day tomorrow and all day Sunday. So, yeah, there we are. And and Terry in Saigon said he was having a hard time hearing you, Tracy. Volume kind of goes up and down. But this, because I was talking about the pear butter earlier. Wow. Dave number 11 wrote in and said, as Roger said, we call Santa Ana winds Diablo winds in NorCal, regardless of where Mount Diablo is situated. But beyond that, and I must know more, Dave number 11 says, we make pear honey for holiday gifts. Everyone doubles their order for the following Christmas box once they get a taste. Our Bartlett pear tree puts out 200 pounds of pears every year, but the fruit's rusted due to the daily dew point wetting the tree. We flat out refuse to spray chemicals on the tree to make pretty pears. As a result, it all goes to pear honey. I need to know more about this pear honey. Pears? Honey? Wow. I mean, is it honey? I mean, this is a thing of which I have never heard, and I would like to know more.
Missing ambrosia.
Yeah.
And you need to step on your face.
But that sounds absolutely magical. And we've reached the third hour of the program. We've got thank you to Clarence. Clarence jumped in and took us down to 215. And there's Jeremy. And we're down below $200 to $195. So that's magnificent and so helpful. Maybe we can end September with the biggest community-made miracle in the history of the horn. Thank you, Jeremy. And there was no note attached, Jeremy. There's nothing saying that I have to go and visit the cesspool of my
Given last events, I think we're done with that for a while because it's coming too real now.
Yeah.
I don't want to make you revisit those nightmares. Those are unfortunate.
I'm better now. I am. But the online people, you know, I didn't post anything about it, but yeah, you know, no, the stuff continues to roll in. It's enough to make a girl just want to run away from social media.
You just know these anonymous people don't tell their friends about their fantasy. You just know it. It's all secretive.
Okay. And there's Ralph serving as the Horned Ad Hoc Research Department for Pear Honey. Oh, I got to know more. This tastes so much like honey, your friends will never believe the bees didn't make it. Great on hot biscuits and to give as gifts. What? 8 cups peeled, cored, and chopped pears. 1 cup unsweetened pineapple juice. 8 cups of sugar. Well, now. Thank you, Dave number 11, for even making me aware of this. Now it will be a thing that I don't know where I'm going to get the pears. But how ripe do they need to be, Dave? If you're still there. I'm going to show this to my daughter-in-law, and she's probably going to go wild.
I'm thinking now of a hoe cake there, Robin, and the pear honey, because you know hoes.
Hoe got to eat too. Batty, batty, batty! Don't start.
Batty, batty.
Don't you start.
Why, folks, come you kill my brother?
There's a bat in my house. I keep promising myself I'm gonna watch that again, and I am.
I got a bat story, Robin.
Oh, do.
A couple of weeks ago, I was leaving the doors on the man cave open at night. So I went out there one morning, and I looked up in the rafters, and here's this bat up there. So I wanted to get him out, so I grabbed a 10-foot stick of conduit, kind of pushed him, and because he was up there, I couldn't reach him with anything but that. So he took off. Well, this morning, I was out there opening the north doors. The north doors are two doors on the ship, on the man cave, and they slide in opposite directions. But one door didn't want to seem to open right to me from the day before. So I slid it open, and all of a sudden, this bat falls out on the ground. So I said, oh, and it looks like it's hurt. And I'm like, oh, no. So I go get a flat-nosed shovel, and I pick him up in the shovel, and he's up in the air, and he starts moving and stuff. So I just flicked the shovel. He went up in the air, and he just flew off. Don't know where he went.
Wow.
But he'll come back there.
Good for you not touching it.
I can't sing to the old Batman team.
Shoot, every rat I ever trapped in the shop, I dump it into the shovel and go out. That was before when they had pasture. And I just throw it out in the pasture and the vultures eat them. No, I can't do that. You should see that pasture now.
Have they just leveled it? And
no, they haven't got it leveled yet. They went through there the other 2 days ago with a big, big cat with these two ripper teeth on the back of the cat.
Yeah.
That are hydraulically controlled. Just dug those things up into the ground and just started churning everything up. I was amazed at some of the stuff they brought up when they did that. There's roots and stuff, and there's just weird looking piece of something out there. It looked like it came off of a palm tree or something. It has all these fingers off of it. I mean, just strings off of it.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. But I wasn't going to go through the barbed wire fence to find out.
Well, you know, when we first moved here and I started keeping a garden, I guess I had forgotten from my childhood years, but long, long ago, there was no trash service around here. And so my grandmother would, you know, anything that was organic went into a pot and then got dumped in a compost pile. And if it would burn, she burned it. And then the stuff that she couldn't do anything else with, she buried. And when I first dug up my garden ground, like back in 1999, 2000, it was like an archaeological dig. I mean, I found old pop bottle glass, some shell casings, bizarre stuff. Oh, and thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger, for jumping in. We are now down. This is becoming achievable. We are now down to $140 to go. $140 to go for the biggest community-made miracle in the history of the Horn. Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much. And Dave, number 11 jumped in, answering my question about how ripe on the pears. More ripe is better. And then, this is an official culinary term. Cook the bejesus out of it. So that's a cowbell for cooking the bejesus. Yeah, I want to see that in a recipe. Yeah, add pineapple juice, add sugar, cook the bejesus out of it. I'm sorry, Tracy. I stepped on you. I didn't mean to, hon.
No. It's okay. Now I was going to say, I'm going to add to that and throw in a $25 challenge. That part too. And I have no name for it. My brain isn't, you know, thinking about stuff like that. I can't come up with this.
Tracy's fake Scientology challenge.
Yes. That part.
I got a yayos.
Yayos.
You sound a little bit like one of my grandmothers then.
Like a yayos.
She said yayos.
She said yayos.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Hey. Did you see what's going on in Connecticut?
Which?
About the gun owners and they're challenging the law passed after Sandy Hook.
No, tell us.
Yeah, I just happened to be looking at The Guardian. Gun rights groups and firearm owners have launched another attempt to overturn Connecticut's ban on certain semi-automatic rifles that was enacted in response to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. They are seeking to overturn the prohibition on what they call, quote, modern sporting arms, such as AR-15 style rifles like the one used to kill 21st graders and 6 educators at the Newton School in 2012.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
What? I don't, you know, I like Tracy was saying earlier about being baffled at, like, that whole, I don't know who Lizzo is, but I saw that and I thought, what is the big F? What? I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know. When I disagreed with people, I used to at least understand. Oh, okay. I see where you're coming from. This I don't get. The Lizzo thing, I don't. What? I don't understand caring that much about something like this. I seriously don't understand it. Is it money? Is it we're doing it because we can? Is it?
Are you talking about the people who get butt hurt?
Yeah, I don't. Or these Connecticut gun people. They want to argue that.
Well, the Connecticut gun people are. You know, this isn't organic. They are being heavily sponsored. to do this.
But why? I don't. Is it what? What's the? I don't. What's the end game here? Is it?
The end game. The end game is for every citizen in America to be pointing a gun at every other citizen in America.
And there are people who actually want that.
The black one.
And there are people who actually want that.
Not every citizen. Not the black people. They don't want us to have them.
Oh, no.
They don't. No.
I don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't get it. I don't. Okay. You honestly, they really want everyone to have a gun. But why? I mean, what do they gain from that? Is this really come down to owning the libs again? Is that what?
No. Once upon a time, Steve, the NRA was literally an organization that was founded to teach people to shoot better. It was founded by two union officers former union officers in New York, who saw how badly out marksmanshipped union soldiers were during the Civil War, and because they had a patriotic it was their patriotic sense that they didn't ever want to see that happen again. They started an organization, the National Rifle Association, to teach people better shooting skills. And up until about 1970-ish, that's what it was. And then it got political. And I think it is not a coincidence that it became political at the same roughly the same time that the Powell memo comes out. Because gun ownership was a largely rural thing, and without being too broadly, without painting with too broad a brush, rural is white. And so the right wing, the Republicans, realized that this was another place where they could deploy their Southern strategy and expand it into other geographic locations of the country. And so the NRA becomes a right-wing militant organization, and it also becomes heavily funded by gun manufacturers.
Okay.
So gun manufacturers, I mean, the NRA gets most of its money from gun manufacturers, not from dues. And so with all that gun money in there, they became a promotional arm of the gun manufacturers who wanted to sell guns. And in turn, they had to create a motive for wanting guns. And they created this mostly hyper-masculine fascination with firearms. And then they tied it into politics, and the liberals want to take your guns. Well, I never heard of Dodge City being a liberal enclave, but the fact of the matter was, in the Old West, that they mythologize, you had to leave your guns at the door.
Or the NRA convention.
Or the NRA. Yeah, oh, well played. Hold on. You earned that one.
All those damn liberals there.
Goddamn liberals. And then, you know, the ideological side of it, I have long said that the goal of the NRA is civil strife. Because a happy country isn't a country that's buying guns. And we can see from all the lawsuits just exactly how sleazy they operated. Nasty. And so, I mean, that's the 3-minute explanation, but I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
But you, I mean,
Like going to what's the point? I'd say the point is just to fuel outrage. That's what it is. It's like with the Lizzo thing. It's like a black lady put her lips on the flute that used to belong to a white president. I mean, it's really a sort of like that.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Emilio. And I mean, that was the NRA part of it, Steve. The other part of it is they are constantly kept in a state of outrage.
And fear?
But in the case of, you know, the flute, It is race baited, race driven outrage.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, and I seriously don't get it. I seriously don't understand it. It seems to me, it's always the same group of people who are fomenting this. You know, the Ben Dick Pirro, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah,
Do
Ben, my wife never gets wet, Shapiro. Yes.
He's not stupid. And as disgusting as Rush Hemorrhoid was, he wasn't stupid. I wonder if the people who are the one fomenting this, they don't actually care about this. But they see this as a way to get, and I don't want to just say the rubes, because that's condescending. I don't like that. But
Marx?
Okay, well, you know what I'm saying? Is it way to just get them upset?
They have to be. They have to be kept in a constant state of dither. You know, if you look at right wing Twitter at all, it's nothing but a constant barrage of outrage tweets.
And
they can't be mildly annoyed about something, or they can't be disapproving of something. They have to be outraged.
And it seems to me, every little thing is, oh my God, this is the end of Western civilization. But I understand the keeping them outraged. I understand that. But it can't be keeping people outraged for the sake of keeping people outraged.
It's keeping people outraged for the purposes of getting them to do their bidding. Okay? Keeping them to the polls. It's one of those things that I talked about long and long about what will they do when they finally get their way and outlaw abortion? Where will all their voters go? And I've been proven absolutely right in the wake of Dobbs. So they got their way, and now they're moving on, and they're going to wage war on a state-by-state-by-state basis. And now they're talking about national abortion bans in the Congress. And that keeps them, their mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing base, sorry, I will go there, in an activist state of voting out of fury and voting out of what they think is concern for the precious little fetuses that they frankly don't care about once they're alive and going to school and can be gunned down by a kid, a white boy who decided he was pissed off because a girl wouldn't talk to him online.
You know what it really comes down to, as I'm sitting here thinking about this, or this is my hypothesis. Do you remember, I haven't heard anyone on the program or in the community say this in a while. They want it all. It's not enough that they got Roe overturned. Okay? Now they want it all. And at what point, you know, and I don't mean to seem naive.
But that's in the nature of fascism, Steve.
No, and I understand all that. And you know what? Maybe at my core, I don't want to believe that. I don't want to think that anger and anger at people and hatred at other people can be such a motivator. I don't know.
I think most of us don't want to believe it.
I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know if anyone has seen what happened in the UK with they're in a tailspin after their latest The conservative government came out with that horrible plan to basically bankrupt the economy, bankrupt the country, and you know it was Reaganomics is what it was. And one of the programs I listened to, he's a more on the lefty truth side. I actually saw the tweet. There was some Tory counselor somewhere saying that she was for it because it was making this particular guy I listened to angry, And as long as it makes him angry or upset, it must be good. And I thought, I don't get it. I'm sorry. Look, I went through a lot of therapy and not worrying about what other people do and minding my own business, because I used to get upset at every little thing somebody did. And now on the other side of that, I think, why do you care? Why do you care so much about what I do, number one, and whether I'm upset about something? And 9 times out of 10, their perception of us being us or whoever being upset is completely outsized to the reality. I mean, I'm sorry if I sound really naive here. It takes a lot of energy and time to be this upset about everything. Life is effing short.
Yeah, it does, and it is soul consuming.
It is soul consuming. It eats you.
And the thing is, the people, it eats them, and it's so harmful to the people who are the recipients of their hate. I mean, I sent an article to Tracy earlier today and suggested she read it because it had such a compelling title. Stop worrying about what happens if we let kids transition. Worry about what happens if we don't. That.
And I agree with that sentiment entirely. But why fucking worry about kids that aren't your kids?
Yes.
I mean, or I hear this shit about, you know, Youngkin down there. Well, we just want to have parents back involved. And I thought, first of all, parents have never been taken out of the equation. Number one. Number two, if there are instances in which it's better to not have parents involved. If daddy is doing whatever to his daughter, and the daughter is at school telling them, it's probably not a good idea to bring daddy in with daughter and mother or whoever and say, daughter says, you're doodling, whatever the tacky word is. That's probably not a good idea. Because when daughter goes home that night, because daddy will, of course, deny it and feign all kinds of, oh, well, bruga, bruga, bruga. Daddy will take that out on daughter.
Yes.
So,
I mean, that's the same thing that goes hand in hand with, like, the rape and incest exception of the legislation in South Carolina. The pregnant 12-year-old can go and get the abortion if she has reported the rape or the incest within 24 hours to the police.
A 12-year-old.
Yes.
A fucking 12-year-old.
Yes.
So a 12-year-old too scared to go to the cops and probably confused and what the hell do I do, but mature and not scared enough. I can't even go. I mean, this reminds me, I don't know if
look, Republicans constantly say, you know, it's not the little fetus's fault. God wants that baby to exist. So they would prefer that the 12-year-old have Uncle Daddy's baby.
And of course,
they occupy the moral high ground.
And forget about the fact that if that did end up happening, it would destroy. I mean, the best case scenario, it would destroy 12-year-old's ability to ever have children when she was actually old enough to have them.
There's that too.
But then those right-wing snots will claim that the 12-year-old is a goddamn welfare queen because she can't afford to get a job to raise the kid.
Right.
She can't get a job. She's 12.
Well, Tracy, what the hell? What do you mean she can't get a job? Haven't you ever heard of child labor? Haven't you ever seen them pictures of 7-year-olds working on a big loom?
Oh, yeah. As a woman, and God help me, I can still have children. That just terrifies me, the thought. But if, you know, besides the fact that I have a lot of explaining to do to my wife, but if I got pregnant, okay. But the fact of the matter is, I live in California. If for some crazy ass reason I did get pregnant, I can have it taken care of. I don't have to worry about going to jail. I don't have to worry about my clinician going to jail or any of that other stuff. If I don't have the money to take care of it myself, we have health care in California. Why we don't have universal health care yet when we have a supermajority is beyond. Oh, yeah, I know, the insurance company. Okay, I digress. What?
Figured it out on the fly, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's seriously a rhetorical question. But just the fact that, and I live in a state where, like Robin and I were talking this morning, that my governor is signing, he has signed into law a whole lot of bills, laws saying, we will not cooperate with you if you're trying to arrest people. We know that all this stuff, that everything that these hate, vengeful, just disgusting garbage people are, every time they come up with something, we come up with a bill in California to say a righteous soundly fuck you. That part. It is just, and Steve, I understand. Well, I don't, because I'm black. And so there's a lot more things that I've experienced. And so I understand how, because of this, my people are the way they are. But a lot of this is seriously rooted in what people, white supremacy, heteronormative ideas, and all this, because they want things to be the way that, the good old days.
Which never actually existed.
Speaking of Yellowstone, which never existed. This myth, this American myth. One of my readings that I was reading for, I've read so much in the last 6 weeks. But this current week, we're talking about settler colonialism and what people did and all that. And it's just, The people are under the notion that we can vote out white supremacy. Which we cannot. Be right back.
Yeah, to go back to the question, why do they care what other people do? I think for some people it's the religious aspect. I mean, they really believe in this idea of, America's this divine place ordained by God and the second Jerusalem and all this kind of thing. But they believe that America will only be great if God is with us. So we tolerate all those gay people or all the other minorities, God will no longer shed his grace on us, or we will no longer be the indispensable country.
But their idea of who or what God is and what he or she or both wants. I hear what everyone's saying. It's like, I have had this issue, with being gay. It's like, why do you care? I mean, why, Robin, that story you told about that creepy fucker who was in, was it Maggie's?
Yeah.
What do you care? Unless there's something up with you, what do you care what I do?
Well, again, it was atavistic, Steve. Atavistic responses are not responses from the civilized human part of the brain. They reside in the lizard brain, the amygdala.
I understand all that. And again, I'm... I'm as baffled now as I was with the whole gay thing. I don't get it. And you know what, really, the thing about the trans kids in schools and whatnot, and these people will. We need to get the parent. And I think, wait a minute. If a kid. So I what I wish someone would say, well, what about an instance in which the parents are involved and they're supporting the kid? What the hell do you have to do with any of that? Whatever happened to mind your own business? Mind your own effing business. Or if you don't have.
But Steve, if they mind their own business, the right wing goes broke.
Okay.
I mean, there is an element of this that isn't philosophical. It is entirely capitalist and economic.
Okay.
Right now, it is a good dollar to hate me. And a good dollar to hate you.
And I just, and you know what? I'll say it again. I know I've said it. The energy it takes, though. I guess the people who benefit the most from the money, they don't, they're not the one. They probably don't give to, they don't care about you or me. But they see that, you know, they don't have to do much to get people.
Come on. You know, how many of the, you know, look, I'm going to be a little crass here and I'm going to be a little bit graphic, but you know, how many times have we looked at these fuckers, you know, the raising hell about people they don't approve of? And you know, and it's been proven. I mean, Jesse Lee Peterson. Okay.
What happened?
Ernest Angley.
Oh, yeah. Is Jesse Lee Peterson, did something happen where he...
Oh, yeah, he rails about masculinity, and he rails about how manly he is, and there he is with a mouth full of dick.
Oh, he got caught with a man in his mouth?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't...
Well, that's how manly he is.
Are you serious? Because I didn't hear that.
But, yeah, I mean, what do they get out of it? What they get out of it is that they get to feel good. Because that's why they're always the victim. Even though it's kind of a negative and sappy and draining emotion, they like to feel, you know, righteously indignated about things. They get to lord it over us because they know in their hearts, even though they feel pathetic, that they're actually better than us. That's really
and it. There it is, Emilio, that Pink Floyd quote I come back to time and time again. The warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow. And, you know, I kind of hate myself for what I just said a minute ago. You know, Jesse Lee Peterson rails about how masculine he is, and then there he is with a mouthful of cock. The two are not mutually exclusive. And that's part of their hang up.
Oh.
You can be a guy who is gay as hell and be really masculine. But that is not how these assholes portray gay men. You know, it's just one monolith of sissies, okay?
You know what? I would
when there are bears out there who could crush them between their thumb and index finger.
Bears have thumbs?
Yeah, gym boys. Who are ripped, chiseled, and rock hard.
Yeah. Go to any gym in Chelsea. You'll see.
In West Hollywood. So yeah. You guys, your girl just had a near-death experience.
What happened, Tracy?
And I'm not even... I was letting the girls out. And my car slipped out of park into reverse or whatever and almost rolled. And I was trying to stop it, you know, and I fell and the car almost rolled over me.
Fuck.
That was terrible. Ouch.
I'm hurting.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Should girl be getting to an urgent care, please?
Well, I'm going to do close to my house because I'm in Inglewood. And if something's really wrong, I don't want to be all the way over here. And especially if Jan has to come and get me, there's a huge concert happening tonight. Somebody called Bad Bunny.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. But apparently it's going to be huge because they're at the so it's big enough that it's not at the Forum, but it's at the SoFi Arena. And it's tonight and tomorrow night. So, yeah, know that. Thank God for it, because I fell and I cut and I stopped the car basically with my body. I was able to kind of reach the emergency brake, so it kind of engaged. And fortunately for me, the mom of the girls that was dropping out heard me screaming for help. And she ran out, and I'm like,
"Damn, Tracy!"
I was calm. I don't know if I'm just in shock, but
I think there's every possibility. I'm not kidding. I think there's every possibility you are. And before you go completely sideways, get you somewhere that Jan can get to you. Okay, please.
Yeah. No, I will. And so she ran out. She's like, "What to do?" I said, "Get in on the." You guys would have been really proud of me. Thank God I was on mute because you would have heard the whole thing. And so I told her, go in and get in on the passenger side. And she couldn't put the car in park. I said, you got to hit the brake. You know, she's like, where's the, I said, the brake is where the brakes are in all cars. Hit the brake and then put it in park. And she's like, okay. She was more freaked out than I was. And by the way, you guys, the Apple Watch works when it fall detection works. By
the way. Hell of a way to find out.
Because that's hell of a fucking way to find out.
No, seriously. Tracy, do you remember back before the pandemic or as the pandemic was hitting and you were like, hey, y'all, I'm going to Vegas. And I'm like, Tracy, don't go to Vegas.
Right. Then I didn't go.
And you realized later how right I was.
Yes.
Tracy, go get checked out. Tracy, go get checked out.
Like I said.
Tracy, go get checked out.
I'm in way in Inglewood, and Jeb would not be able to get to me. So I am going to get as close to, I'm getting out of L.A. because, like I said, over here it's going to be a hot mess, and I will go home. And have Jan take me to the emergency room because I've been in Encino and there's hospitals everywhere because, I live in the suburbs. And so I will go to the hospital as soon as I get home and I will let you know. But I'm fine. I mean, like I said, because I fell hard and I got to make sure that, but dude, it just really, and you know what my main concern was, you guys? I was more concerned. This is when that fight or flight takes in, and my thing was, stopping the car and, making sure, and I was, because the girls were still in the car when all this was going on, and so, yeah, so no, I was going to work after this, but no, I'm going to go home, have Jan take, because I'm not even going to call Jan and tell her what happened, because
happened. Okay, listen to me, please. I'm going to interrupt because I need to. I want you to stay connected to the program, okay?
Okay, I will. I will.
And I want you to get in your car and go and do what you're going to do. I want you to stay connected to the program. Text.
No, I'm in my car right now. I'm driving. I am heading to the freeway as we speak. I will stay on the line until I get home.
Okay, please.
And I will go because I think I have what is it, road rash? On my back.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if you didn't.
It drugged me a little bit.
Girl!
hey, look, I'm hard. I come from hardy, enslaved folks.
Stop it.
Stop. What? Look, my ancestors gave birth in cotton fields. Hell, me just being drugged by a car.
Yeah, no. You do not have I got whoop genes, okay? No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to keep you from freaking out even more so.
I'm not freaking out. I'm perfectly calm. But I want you to stay connected, drive, don't divert any of your energies to the conversation, drive, okay? Focus all
drive.
Your energies there at and get there, and I swear if I find out that you didn't get into the driveway, get out of the car, go tell Jan and go to the ER, go get checked out, I will find a way.
Don't come out here to whoop my ass. Don't. I'm not kidding.
I will find your friends and tell on you.
Yeah, you, and see, you don't have my mother's number, but I'm pretty sure you can find her.
Oh, yes, I do. I can text her.
Yes, you do have her number. That's right.
I do. And I will tell.
You do have my mother's number. You do, and then I have to hear from her.
Yes.
So okay.
I will drop the dime on a bitch. I will.
Oh, you know, snitches get stitches. Come on, man.
Because Mama Cora will take care of me.
Right, and she might bake you something and send it to you because you took, you know, because. She know how hard-headed her oldest child is.
Right. So go, drive, let me know when you...
Look. I am actually almost to the freeway. Fortunately, traffic is going in the traffic for the stupid concert. I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of Bad Bunny, but I guess they're huge because the whole thing is sold out. And like I said, it's not in the Forum, but at the SoFi Arena.
You're going to make me look it up.
I'm sorry, you guys. Now I feel like I've taken over.
Bad Bunny is a Puerto Rican rapper. Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, known professionally as Bad Bunny.
Okay. Now I see why I'm seeing all these people. These Latinx folks walking toward the arena. Okay.
He's rap and reggaeton.
Yeah, I don't know what reggaeton is, but it sounds...
It's very much... I believe it originated in Cuba.
Okay.
It's kind of like a cross between reggae and Latin music.
Yeah. It's rappish. It is...
It's really cool.
It's cool. But it's got rappish... characteristic. Am I right there?
Now I just Shorty is writing saying don't drive anywhere, Tracy. A fucking order.
I can't. I gotta get out of here, y'all. I didn't hit my. I'm not concussed. Well, not concussed. And like I would know if I was, but it's mostly my arms and my back and my leg. But I don't really, if I have to go to the emergency room, I don't want to.
Girl, you're doing Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the guy on going on the cart saying, I feel fairly good. I'm getting better. I feel fine. I feel happy. Oh, you're very ill.
That's the adrenaline talking for now, but later you might feel.
Emilio, you are a wise man.
This is adrenaline, and like I said, that's why I want to be close. You know, like I said, if I call Jan, I can't do.
No, she'd go into she'd go into sweat condition alpha. I get it.
You know, and so I want to get home. I promise you, if I feel any other way, I do have enough sense. To say fuck it, I'm pulling over and going.
Well,
to
you just got a note for you just got a note from Matt in San Francisco, and Matt said no other radio program, safe to say, has live blow by blow coverage of people being dragged by their own car. Tracy, remember, Matt is the Horn's Den mother. Tracy, take care of yourself and have Jan get you to urgent care.
I promise. I will have her take me because she is going to be, you know, the things that happened to me, it's just, yeah, because I know it's the adrenaline, but I'm just really glad that you guys, I was on mute because I didn't want you guys, if you had heard, I was screaming. And again, thank God the parent heard me screaming because the alarm was about to go off to call 911, but I don't know how long it would have taken for the police or the fire department or whatever to get to me. Again, I'm in Inglewood. So, like I said, I don't want to, but that was scary.
That yeah. Was scary. You sound like you're surprised.
Well, shit, you know, I grew up in...
What do you think you should... How do you think you should have felt? Oh, hell, I'm being dragged by my own car, so I'll deal a hand of solitaire? Ooh, play the Red Queen.
And why is it so dirty under here?
You know, I've heard of people being thrown under the bus. I ain't never heard anybody throwing theyself.
Oh, Jesus. No, this is one for the annals. This, I think, will go down into, where is it when you sit, the Library of Congress or whatever? I blow by blow on the person being drugged by their car. Oh, God. What flashed to me? Remember the young man that played Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies? That's how he died.
Yeah, I know.
You know. But
first thing that came to my mind.
I'm here. I'm okay. I promise. I'm not even gonna pull into the driveway because I would be blocking Jan's car. So I will park the car and go in the house and say, honey, you need to take me to urgent care. I got drugged by my car. And, so she won't, like I said, if I call her now, it's going to be maximum freaked outness. And I don't want that because, you know, my wife is not the most, I mean, she's pretty good, grace under fire. I mean, but when it comes to me, it's, just, she doesn't want anything to happen to me. And, you know, if you guys remember when Jan and I first met, oh my God, it's been 10 years, my brain surgery. We had just started dating and I found out that I needed brain surgery. And she could have turned tail and ran. It's like, not only is she a straight girl pretty much, but the bitch is gonna need brain surgery, I'm out. And she's-
See you later.
I'm out, you know, but she stuck by me. She went to every appointment, every MRI, every doctor's appointment, everything. And so, but she does get freaked out. So, yeah, no, we're going to have, I mean, and I just, I will be okay. I mean, like I said, as long as the adrenaline, you know, keeps me going because I know that in a little while it's gonna hurt because my leg was trapped in the car. One leg was trapped in the car and one leg was my right leg was in the car trying to hit the brake, and then my other leg was like, my left leg was like inches from the tire running over it. So
money.
Yeah, some time ago I was parked in, I was stuck in traffic and I almost pulled to the left to take like the left turn lane, and I started doing that and this like semi truck just like whizzed by. It wasn't really close or anything, but of course it scared me. It's like, what are you doing, kind of thing.
Yeah,
about it.
Amelia, where are you from?
Hello?
I dropped the thing. I'm originally from South America. I'm from Colombia, but right now I'm living in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
Are y'all getting the rain, Amelia?
Here, we were super lucky because here it rained. It didn't flood here like it often does. And really, I almost didn't notice anything. The power didn't go out, nothing. So it was very tame here.
Thank heaven for that. I need to share a couple of things real quick, because we are getting so close to the biggest community made miracle we have ever known. I need to say thank you to Brendan. Thank you so much. And I need to say thank you to Kevin and Tracy in Massachusetts, and say thank you to Jude. Jude writing in particular, support sent with the intention of our Horn community's fellow travelers who are now residing in Florida, the ones we know of by name or voice and those we've never heard from. Since I'm personally connected with Juanita and Kevin, it's very visceral in nature. Juanita is without power. I'm so glad you wrote to tell me all of this. I was wondering about Juanita. Juanita is without power. Her apartment was flooded and the tub and toilet rendered non-functioning. She did say last night the bathroom is of partial use as of late. Juanita, dear, powerful Juanita, at 88, she moves through every storm that is presented before her. An excellent example of how she always voices, it is because of her God. Juanita manifests the art of relinquishing to something greater than herself. I am drawn to her because of this. And Kevin's concerns for his father living there also. My best to the community, each and every one of you. So we are down, goodness gracious sakes alive, to $65 from the most humongous, amazing community-made miracle we have ever had in the history of this program.
Wow.
Jude adds, listening to Steve, when I moved to housing distress, as in not being able to comprehend any current situation, especially our current times, I stop and try to begin to comprehend the universe never ending. The sheer vastness of this stops me instantly, pulls me back to the origin of the emotion of any type of duress. It returns one to a sensitive humility. We are simply mortals in a complicated time, and time is precious. This is what I sense in Steve. Many occurrences can't be comprehended, and maybe never. Hold on to your kind, focused manner, Steve. More so, protect it. Thank you, Jude. That's why Jude is the Horn spiritual advisor. Tracy, Matt says, yeah. It's Friday on the front porch, not Friday under the cab. And Ron...
Oh, Jesus.
Correction, wouldn't that be dragged by my car? Probably not the time.
You know what? Fuck you. You know, really? We're going to go after me about my grandma? For real, though? See, this is why we can't have nice things. You know? Oh, wait. How much is left on the books, Robin?
Oh well, your challenge was met, so actually that'll take us $40.
Okay, so I'm gonna do another challenge, a $20 challenge on. I got a name for it. Tracy's near death experience.
No. This is Tracy's Friday under the cab challenge.
Yeah, Friday under the you know. So yes, Friday under the cab challenge. $20. Oh, I'm going to be hurting in the morning. I know fucking well I will be.
Oh, you're going to be so sore when the adrenaline wears off.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm going to keep laughing. You know, because this, and when I tell my mom, and don't worry, I will tell her, you know, all that I could think of was, wow. I mean, my friend Kane was like, the girls are in the cab. Don't, because they were trying to get the cab. I'm like, don't move. So, it's like telling them, don't move, and all this and all that.
Now, this is what sucks, the fact that I'm an independent contractor because I don't get workers' comp. I think this would be an on-the-job injury. What you think?
You're damn right it is. Maybe it's an under-the-job injury.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Hey, but...
Over the bridge and under the car.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step over.
No. What did you say?
I said over the bridge and under the car.
Exactly.
Well, and Mark in Florida, I hope you're okay too, Mark. Just met your $20 under the cab challenge with love, says Mark.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So now, are we good? Are you good for the month of, did we end the month of September?
Stand by, please. That is officially the most humongous Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle in the history of the Horn.
Bless it be. Oh, damn it. You know what? I am so mad now about this stupid thing that happened to me because... I was going to talk about, you know, when Steve was going on about the things and the people and, you know, you said something and I was going to bring up the continuously stupid. See, damn it. Because we, you know, this is like you're calling them rubes. So that's what we call them. Instead of calling them, you know, rubes and whatever, it's the continuously stupid. Does that, how does that feel? I think the continuously stupid.
We're going to form an organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is the SPCS, the Society for the Prevention of Continuous Stupidity.
Yes. Yes. There you go. There you go. Oh God, you guys.
We have created so many organizations on this program. There's Horn Nutraceuticals, Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, the Sorority of Leans, the Society for Prevention of Continuous Stupidity. There's another one out there. What was it? How can I forget? The Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Mm-hmm.
Forgot about that one.
Oh, and by the way, Larry in Liberalville just wrote in. Oh, dear.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Oh, Tracy. Where the rubber meets the road, Tracy will be there to inspect the contact.
Oh!
Damn, Larry.
Well, don't feel too bad, Tracy. About a year ago, my mom was parking in her garage, and they live on an elevated driveway. She got out, turned it off, went down the hill to about 20 yards to get the mail, heard a noise, looked up, and her car was backing at her, took up the mailbox, and she jumped out of the way the last second.
Jesus.
And are you on the freeway?
I am. I have gotten past. I am now... in West LA, I have driven, if anybody knows, I am on the 405. I got on the 405 North at Century Boulevard. I am now on the 405 getting ready to pass the 10 interchange, which will put me squarely in West LA, Westwood, Brentwood area. And I'm going at a pretty good 20 mile an hour clip. So, which is pretty fucking good for a Friday evening. So I should probably be home in about 30 minutes or so.
You are worrying Shorty half to death.
Shorty, I'll be good. You know, now Shorty knows good and damn well that I don't want to be stuck I would have to go to Sentinella Hospital. No, thank you. I want to go to the hospital with the white folk. Sentinella, it was not gentrified enough for me to go to Sentinella Hospital yet. What?
I'm telling on. I'm calling. I want to go to the hospital with the white folk.
I want to go to the hospital with the colonizers. And like I said, it hasn't been gentrified enough in Inglewood that they care enough. So I got to get to, you know, and I'm too far west to go to Cedars. So, and they actually, there is now Cedars in the valley. So, you know, if I'm going to go to the hospital.
Do they say it? Cedars in the valley?
In the valley, yeah. That's Cedars in the valley, for real. So, you know, if I'm going to go to, if I got to go to the hospital, you know, I will go in the valley. Because again, I don't want Jan driving to L.A. worried about me is just not in Friday traffic, y'all.
I keep forgetting it's 2 minutes past five where you are.
Right. It is. If she would have to be coming south on the 405, oh, God, no. And worried about me? Now, I could actually go to UCLA Medical Center to their emergency room, but then no.
Matt's co-signing you. Hospital with the white folks. Matt says she's not wrong.
Thank you. Because if I mean, I got to make sure I have my white wife with me so they won't automatically think I'm drug seeking. You see, these are the things that I have to think about as a black person in this country. You know, I have to have, what did I call it? The cloak of white protection when I'm with my wife. So she can, you know, say, you know, the things that I have to do. This is the, you know, I am going, let's see. What does Miss Google say? How long is it going to take me to get home? Let's see. Maps. Search. Home. I was right. It's going to take me. Okay, I said 30. So actually 34 minutes to get home. So I was 4 minutes off. Damn it. I'm going to be, you know, like I said, I got to go to where the white folks are, and I don't really want to go to UCLA Medical Center. I can go there, but then Jan still has to drive to Westwood, which is still horrible. And I don't really want to see a student doctor right now.
There's that.
There's that. I mean, and like I said, it's probably, you know, probably the soft tissue. I will, you know, they'll give me the good drugs, and I will be fine.
I'm curious about something, though, Tracy. Mm-hmm. When you initially started telling what happened, I think we were all just sort of going, what? did you not put it in park?
I turned it off, and I thought I put it in park. At least I thought I put it in park, but I guess I hadn't.
No, okay. The reason I asked you that was for precisely that reason. Do you have a habit of forgetting to put your car in park?
No.
You are a cab driver who has charge of precious children.
That part.
You are more careful than the average non-professional driver.
That part.
Remember the conversation we had about maybe your car being a little sketchy?
Yeah, I might have to take it into
Under no circumstances, do you even admit the possibility the car was not in park?
Right. Because I've never.
Because you were dropping your kids off, right?
Right.
No way.
Right.
Okay.
Because it was Yeah, no, because I was like, no, I'm like, dude, this, that, again. So, yeah, I'm just going to say, it slipped out of gear, out of park, and it just started rolling. Now I'm hearing Tina Turner singing Rolling Down the River.
Yeah. If you start feeling it all sketchy, go to the nearest place.
See what's happening right now, because I am who I am and I'm super careful when I'm driving. I am all the way over to the right of the freeway. So if I do feel wonky or what have you, I can easily pull over and get to the nearest emergency room, or just call 911 and have them come and take me off the out of my car if I'm feeling any kind of way sideways.
I'm pinky swearing
right now.
Yeah, I got mine out.
I'm supposed to be going. You know, we were talking about the buff gay guys.
Yes.
Tomorrow is the funeral for a dear friend of mine. I told you about him, the one that died of liver cancer. And him and his husband were, the most masculine men I've ever seen. And buff, Lord Jesus, buff, you know, every waking moment in the gym. And so that made me think of him. His funeral's tomorrow. So, but if I'm not feeling well, depending, the good thing is the funeral will be streamed.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm feeling any kind of way other than, so, and the good news is this happened today and not, you know, I'm not working on the weekend. So, you know.
Got a couple of days to sort of recoup.
I got a couple of days to, you know, recoup and be okay and all that good stuff. Oh, I still can't believe.
I just got a note from Matt in San Francisco based on something you said. Matt said, "I'm the white protector of my husband. If he wants to be treated with respect and deference while shopping, he brings me along. I can't tell you the number of times the clerk or manager has changed their tone and increased the number of resolutions available when the white guy walks up."
Yep. So, the fortunate thing for me, my wife can go full Karen if necessary. You know, so, the, you know.
Oh, I'll bet Jan can.
Yes, she can. And so that's yet another reason why I have to make sure I get home so she could go. Because again, black woman coming to hospital by herself in Inglewood or anywhere, but no. And then, you know, all the things that, you know, and another reason why I didn't report, you know, there's so many things. So it's just want to get home. Oh, and yeah, another thing is I'm going to put on, because now I have to go to the hospital. So now I got to put on somewhat clean clothes or what have you, especially underwear and all that sort of stuff.
Girl.
Look now! Because I broke into one of those really scary sweats because it was kind of scary.
Yeah, the adrenaline sweats. Yeah, I get it.
The adrenaline sweats. So I feel gross. And we don't know how long Mama Tracy's going to sit in the emergency room before they actually see me. So, you know, there's all these things. I'm doing good. I'm almost to, I'm now officially almost at the top of the hill where we go start going down into the valley. And, you know, again, I'm, like I said, I'm going to have the wife, you know, make sure I get there so she can drive me. and then I could come home and rest and not think about the fact. I gotta keep laughing though, because if you know, because it's gonna hit me in a little while. It's gonna hit me what happened, and I'm gonna freak out because fuck yeah, it's. I don't know. Like I said, I've never had anything like this happen to me before. So, and damn it, I didn't see my whole life flash before me. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? When you have a near-death experience? No? What? So, obviously, it wasn't my time, y'all. I'm going to still be here for a minute just to drive people crazy. That part. Okay, some more jokes. Somebody has to say something silly.
Well, we're glad you made it through, and yeah, you have to laugh while you can.
Yeah, I mean, come on, I got, you know, I got to keep fighting the good fight.
Yes, you do.
You know, you didn't tell. Oh, have you told Agnes? Where is she? And I'm going to have her on my case.
No, she, oh, I haven't, because she would come back here. And
yeah, oh god, yeah.
No, nursing it would not.
Nursing it, you would be all like, you know, there would be expletives and like, bitch, what, and stuff. Get, take your funky ass, to, you know, get your ass to the goddamn hospital. Bruga, 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 bruga.
I mean, again, one of the things to hate about our medical system, you should just be able to get medical help, but not everything is like an ordeal.
Yes. That part. When I tell my family what happened, they're going to be like, wait a minute. You drove you from Inglewood back to the valley. I'm like, yeah? But I have a feeling they're going to x-ray me from head to toe.
Well, Shorty is explaining why she's a little cranky. Tracy, a hospital where white folks have some act right about them. Tracy knows this saying. I'm with you all the way, Tracy. I'm cranky as hell because I got hit by a car. I'm currently your virtual passenger all the way there. Forgot to tell you that. I'm telling nobody on you. Keep it up. I'm calling nobody, and I'm telling him nothing.
Yes. Like I said,
I think there's some nudging and winking going on.
Nudge, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, I love my family. One more thing. I forgot to tell you. So when I was screaming and, you know, the kid's mom came out and stopped the, you know, got the car back in park and all that. I forgot to mention a very beautiful black man that helped me up because I couldn't move. I was pinned. And so he's like, yeah. I'm a big girl. And this man picked me up without any effort. I'm like, damn, baby. And he was cute.
I there's something in my soul that tells me, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
I'm going to be fine. I am going to be fine. But I, with something like this, definitely need to be checked out. I need to make sure that nothing was broken, that, you know.
Bleeding inside.
Nothing. There's no internal injuries because I went down hard. I got to make sure because I'm as much as I'm joking, I know that I need to go to the hospital. This isn't one of those, I just give me a couple of Tylenol and I'll be fine kind of thing. No, because I was actually going to go to the airport because it's busy today, but I'm like, yeah, that's not a good idea. Because now I'm actually now feeling it in my neck and all that, so. I'm still, it's it's, I'm still just thinking about the fact, Jesus Christ, Tracy Michelle Porter. Only you, only you.
Well, I just, I left a note just a bit ago. Today's a bad day for cars. The wife ran over a curb leaving the hospital from a minor procedures, popped the front tire.
Brand new
car. I mean, 1,200 miles on the car. I went over there. She's fine and everything else. Brought the brother-in-law back because he was there for a colonoscopy. And now I got to run back over and stay with my wife until AAA gets there to put it on a fucking tow truck because it's too late to take it anywhere. So they're going to bring it here to the house. And then tomorrow we were supposed to be teaching a class on canning meat and beans and all that kind of shit with a bunch of other people. And so the car is going to get taken somewhere, and we don't know whether the rim's toast or whether the rear tire that didn't pop has been damaged as well. So anyhow, the good news is my wife is the first one to fuck up the new car instead of me. So now I get a freebie down the road. Anyhow, I'm going to be gone again. Try to get back in here for the late after porch. But take care, everybody, and I hope to see you all later.
Good luck, Roger.
Good luck, Roger.
Good luck. Glad your wife's okay.
Yes, indeed.
This is awesome. So now Miss Google is saying is I'm only 18 minutes from home now. Because traffic is lightening up. Well, actually, it had me get off the freeway and go up Sepulveda the rest of the way home. That part. So now I'm only 18 minutes away from home now.
I think Yay! Tracy just needs to start her own reality shows. I think it would do well.
Oh God. You're not the first you're not the first person, nor will you probably be the last to say that I need to have my own reality show. But then again, I don't want you guys to wind up hating me because, you know, I don't want to be, equated with the Kardashians or something. I won't be mad at the money, though.
As long as you don't marry Kanye.
Oh, bitch. Really? Kanye don't want no black.
All these people so pissed off about Lizzo. Where were they when Kanye was pounding on the Resolute desk? In the Oval Office and yelling, I'm a bad motherfucker.
Right. Well, because he was with his homeboy. So it was okay. Remember, these people have no manners. Bad behavior is perfectly okay.
Right.
As long as it's them with the bad behavior.
Precisely.
You know, so well, it's like, you got to go, don't you, baby?
Yeah, I'm going to wrap this thing up. Because hopefully we'll be able to actually post the program on Podbean and they won't throttle me at the end of the month. Text me when you get home, okay?
I will text
stay in the group until you get a pull in the driveway, you hear me?
Well, again, remember, I can't pull into the driveway because if I pull into the driveway, then Jan can't get out.
Okay, so but until you stay in the group until you get home.
Yeah, I will do that. I will stay in the group
Green.
Until I get home, and I will promise that I will text you when I get home, and I will also text you when I get to the emergency room because I know you are not going to rest until you know I'm okay. And I know as soon as you do, you're going to call.
I want a selfie of you sitting in front of some really tacky, bad paint. And then I'll know you're actually at a hospital.
Right, exactly. So I will be going to Tarzana, Providence, Cedars, whatever, Medical Center. And I will take a picture of me entering. I don't know if they allow you to take pictures once you're in the emergency room, but I will definitely take a picture of me entering the emergency room. Thank God I have damn good insurance.
Good girl. Yes, indeed. Listen, you take care of yourself. I'm going to wrap this thing up.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Love you. I love this community. My goodness gracious, I do. So very much. So thank you. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors for creating a Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle, the biggest we've ever had. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging with this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky. In the chat room and in the old holler tree where we gather for Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Scarcely 47 minutes and change away. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head On .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe, get your booster. Wear your mask when you're among the great maggot unwashed, or might be. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for heaven's sakes, if some bleach blonde member of Congress who ain't from Georgia but claims to be comes walking down the street saying, "Can you believe it? My husband done filed for divorce from me. Me! Marjorie, marginal trailer queen." Well, avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.